Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a new citywide program that we've been telling you about is hoping to get New Yorkers on the same page. Literally, One Book, One New York aims to get New Yorkers to read the same book at the same time. If it works, it'll be the biggest community read in the country ever. It'll be like a giant book club with the whole city participating. This started in Chicago a number of years ago, where somebody had the idea for the whole city of Chicago to read To Kill a Mockingbird. And so many Chicagoans did, and there were discussions all over the city, and it was great, and people were discovering things about themselves and their neighbors and the history and the city today. Now New York is trying it. And the first step is to vote on one of five books, which are Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates, The Sellout by Paul Beatty, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao by Junot Diaz, Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and the novel we'll discuss now, the old classic, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith. Now, Betty Smith died all the way back in 1972, and the book is much older than that, so obviously she's not with us. My guest is the author and film director, Adriana Trigiani, who wrote the foreword for a paperback edition of A Tree Grows in Brooklyn a few years ago. And she'll talk to us about why this book is one that all New Yorkers should read at the same time. Adriana herself is the author of the forthcoming Kiss Carlo, The Shoemaker's Wife, The Big Stone Gap series, and she wrote and directed the film version of Big Stone Gap that came out a few years ago. Hi, Adriana. Welcome back to WNYC.
I'm thrilled to be back. You know, I love your show, Brian, and I'm so thrilled to be here because this is such a wonderful idea that Julie Menin and the folks have put together. And it's a really great, across the country, you know, the book clubs are doing this and cities are doing this in small towns, and it's about time New York City did it. And you've got great books to choose from, but A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is, you know, I believe it's one everyone should read. Every American should read this book, and it's more timely now than it ever was.
When was it published?
It was first published at the height of World War II in 1943, and it's very autobiographical. Betty Smith still has family that's alive up in Connecticut. She wrote this book to really chronicle her turn-of-the-century life, and you know, history's like an accordion. It keeps repeating itself. If we pay attention, you know, anything that happens has happened, and we can build upon and improve, or we can fall over the cliff. And she took this turn of the last century when she was a girl. She was born in 1896. And she wrote what it was like pretty much from 1900 to 1917 on the cusp of World War I. So now we're in 2017, so it very much mirrored the country, America, back then in terms of manufacturing, agriculture. You know, the first, everybody wore shoes that were handmade prior to 1900. Somebody had to make your shoes, but then they figured out how to make glue, and in 1900, we had factories that made shoes. Your clothes were starting to be manufactured in factories. The telephone came in. The phonograph. If you think about Enrico Caruso recording his, it was new. And now, you know, we our head spins at the technology, how quickly it changes. But Betty Smith's novel really has deep resonance because it was on a different, it was different level, of course, but same things were happening. The airplane, the car. I mean, it's just
technology changing people's lives.
The crisis
of the middle class that was taking place back then because of the dawn of the industrial era. Now it's because of the demise of the industrial era. And you know, two of the few of the other books on the list are about contemporary immigrants the Juno That's Diaz right. book, and,
mm-hmm. oh, and every single one of these is great.
Right, and Americana, about people from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. The character in A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, Francie, her parents are the children of immigrants. Her dad's
That's right.
parents came from Ireland, and her mother's parents came from Austria. So both of Francie's grandparents were part of the huge waves of immigrants that came from Ireland and Germany, Austria around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think there are resonant themes with today in that respect?
Well, there are. I mean, you have this sense that certainly in terms of their work lives, the scarcity of employment that's steady. This novel is very pro-union. And, of course, that was a new idea. Now, in 1943, of course, the union had been put through its paces, and it was starting to really get ensconced in American work life. But when Betty was a girl, it was new, and people were rising up. Children were working in factories. My grandparents were some of them. 14 years old, my grandmother was a forelady in a factory. So at 14, I always say that to my daughter who's 14, your great-grandmother was working full-time in a factory. So when you compare it to now, and in terms of the issues that we're talking about, there's huge parallels in that way. There's also the ongoing discussion of how do we care for the least of our brothers and sisters? How do we care for the least among us, the issues of social justice, the idea of being the working poor? What is the minimum wage? What does it take to live? And in New York, as you know, and it's very interesting in the novel, they move three times in Brooklyn. And one of the hallmarks of the renter is the constant movement of the renter. You know, when you start out, and you have to put it down your deposit, and you save up for that, and then you earnestly try to pay. And if 1 month or 2 months or 3 months goes by and you can't pay, you have to skedaddle. And the way Betty Smith arcs this through the book, I think, is so brilliant. And of course, the way she deals with gender, you know, gender is it's a hot button issue right now. But she took it on squarely, the idea of what a woman could and couldn't do, the role of the man, what were a man's responsibilities. She dealt with the whole idea of sexual predators and becoming a young woman and what that meant. There is not a single social issue that we're coping with now that wasn't dealt with in this novel. And when young women read it now and young men read it now, they come away with something. And I think for adults to read it, they come away with a sense of the great swath of history and the role that it plays as readers. And if you read it long ago, you know, I read it, Brian, in preparation for our talk today, and you know, back when Julie and Catherine Drew called me about this project, and I said, oh, I'll be happy to reread it, because we had a mother-daughter book club and we read it.
Mm.
So the more you read it, it's really kind of unbelievable what's in this novel, because there's a real emotional heartbeat. And for a woman, if you're trying to juggle your life with a job and kids, and this book nails it. And the notion of education, you know, we all talk about this. And in this book, you know, that's the goal. How are we going to get educated? How can I get to college is what she's, you know, she ends up at the University of Michigan, but just as the author did. But how am I going to get that education? It's the most important thing, you know. It's not something that you can pose your way through, because knowledge shores you up. Your intellect is important. Your intellect abides you through your long life. It takes you places. And this novel is such a New York small town, you know, it's what we feel in our neighborhoods, you know, no matter what your little neighborhood is. And I'm from a small town.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are both from small towns. I'm a small town person. I live in New York City, but I still live in a small town. I feel. My neighborhood is a small town. And Betty Smith described that so beautifully with Williamsburg and the different areas of Brooklyn and how people who lived in Brooklyn felt about Manhattan and Queens and Staten Island. I mean, she's just, it's masterful. It's absolutely masterful, block by block, sort of how she paints it. And this incredible tree. And it's a novel that when you pick it up again and you think you've read it and you go, oh, or you watch the movie, which is the movie's gorgeous. It's just a gorgeous film adaptation. When you read it, there's wisdom on every page of this novel. It just absolutely is.
Maybe we shouldn't pick a book for the citywide read that has a movie, because then all the kids won't actually read the book. They'll just go see the movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although you can make them read it. You can assign it and hover over them and take it chapter by chapter and make them do it. I mean, I've done that, so I can tell you it's possible. But it's a wonderful book for parents to read with their children. It really is. And it's a great book to read aloud. Even when they're bigger, I know this sounds like corny and old-fashioned, but it is a fantastic book to read aloud because there are things in it that are so courant and so shocking that you don't see coming that I think it's going to be more exciting and on the edge than you would even, you know, than our kids even imagined. I know that was true for my daughter.
We have just a few minutes left with the author and film director, Adriana Trigiani, as we talk about the book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, the old classic that's one of the five books that the city of New York is considering for a citywide read. We talked to a number of the authors of the other nominees last week, as some of your regular listeners know. And we just have a few minutes left, Adriana. This would be the only book whose author is not alive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a disadvantage to that?
Well, what I would hope would happen if A Tree Grows in Brooklyn was selected is that our other distinguished authors whose amazing books. I mean, I was so thrilled to meet Paul Beatty and his beautiful wife at our launch. I would hope that they would all come on board and be part of the launch of this, as I hope every author, whoever wins, will be part of this. Because one of the great things about being an author is the collective brotherhood and sisterhood of this, which I have been shocked and amazed and thrilled by. And it's one of the reasons I stay with it. It's just one of the wonderful parts of this is the fact that our stories mirror each other in all different genres, and every author that is up for this, each are deserving. They're all beautiful books. They're all, in their way, absolutely resplendent. But for my thinking, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn is the grandmother of them all and really sets the tone for this beautiful library that of these selections. And I would hope that all our authors would come on board and help us, you know, promote A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. Because if you start with it, you're going to read everything. You'll read them all, as we have. So, and these authors are all wonderful, and they're all terrific. So I think they probably would.
And that would be the best result of this competition, as well as the citywide read once it takes place, is for people to have more awareness of all five of these books and read all five of them. So as we run out of time, I'm just going to mention again, and then I'll give you folks the web address where you can vote. The voting ends tomorrow.
It's key that everybody vote, Brian. That's the most important thing, is to please vote, because we want to have the biggest voting block in the nation of readers, because we have the best readers in the country. They use our library system rigorously.
That's
and so
right.
We really want everybody to vote.
All right. The one book, one New York program considering one of five books that you can vote on for the whole city to read and have discussions about: Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates, The Sellout by Paul Beatty, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Rao by Juno Diaz, Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith, which we've been talking about here with the author and film director, Adriana Trigiani. And the voting closes tomorrow. You can vote online at nyc.gov/onebook and at interactive digital kiosks on subway platforms through the city. Also, we have a link on our site. So if the easiest way for you, folks, is just to go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can get from there to vote by tomorrow, and then we will be participating some way once a book is chosen here on the show as well. So, Adriana, thanks a lot for wrapping up this series. We had some of the living authors last week, and we have you representing Tree Grows today. So thank you so much.
Brian, thanks for everything you do for books. We love you.
Thank you very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.